Welcome to Office Hours. I'm David Meltzer here live at the SiriusXM studios at the Wynn in Las Vegas. Look at these three fellows. I am so blessed. This is a friendly episode with all my best friends. My first best friend is sitting there, Roy Kataya. He is one of the world's greatest entrepreneurs, in my opinion, a mentor, a coach, a teacher, a philanthropist, humanitarian. But once again, one of my best friends. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Dave.
I learn so much from you every single episode and every single day. And then there's my time lover over there. It's my love language, and nobody speaks it better than John Coyle, Olympian. He was an Emmy award-winning sportscaster, as well as a five-time TEDx speaker, but nobody has a better handle on how to use time and what time actually means, which is why I love having you here as a dear friend of mine. Thanks for joining me again.
Of course.
And the self-proclaimed best friend of mine. He's handsome. He's smart. He's a doctor. He actually was the one that helped me get my doctorate, and I am forever indebted and love him, the incredible Dr. Sean Dill. Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
You may be the adaptopreneur, but our guest is the hedimentalpreneur himself. He wrote the book Hedimentals. His name is Rhett Power. He is renowned for Forbes around the world in Accountability Inc. He has helped more people. He sits with me as a top 100 business coach with Marshall Goldsmith, but he is what we call, where I'm from, a mensch. Welcome back to Office Hours. On the opposite side of the table, Rhett Power.
Thank you, brothers. It is different to be on the hot seat over here.
Yeah, I can't wait. I never get to grill you. I usually get to make fun of you like the rest of my hosts. So this will be good to get to learn a little bit more about Hedimentals. And, you know, the book is doing very well. What's the premise of Hedimentals?
You know, this was a seven-year project. We started this. This came from a keynote I did about 7 years ago to a bunch of small business owners. And I started really thinking about how self-talk impacts our leadership, because I, you know, we all can identify with self-talk. It impacts us in every way. And everyone understands that they have things that they tell themselves repeatedly. We have 6,200 thoughts a day. 5,000 of them are negative or repetitive. That's like 1.8 million negative or repetitive thoughts a year. You can see where that might lead someone to in their leadership. But what really fascinated me about was, as a leader, when I show up, and I lead my team, if I have negative self-talk, what I wanted to understand is how that impacts our teams, how that impacts our people. And that's what we did over the course of years. Over the last 7 years, we've talked to championship winning athletes and teams and coaches. We've talked to the top business leaders. And what we found was it has a massive impact. On negative self-talk has a massive impact on your team, and it impacts us in productivity, in engagement, in retention, in profitability. And so we wanted to write a book so that leaders would understand how critical self-talk is to how you perform as a team, as an organization. And we wanted to make this part of the culture conversation. When you're building a culture in your organization, you're intentionally trying to build it, self-talk needs to be part of the conversation, because I think it's actually a starting point. I don't think you can build a good core culture in an organization or a team unless you've dealt with the question of self-talk.
I'm fascinated by this. I don't think I've heard that expression before, self-talk. So this is me, my thoughts, and as you said, 5,000 or 6,000 of them a day, and are you suggesting that if I teach myself to focus on more positive thoughts, that will have some kind of corollary impact on everyone around me? Am I understanding this correctly?
Yes, yes, and yes.
Okay, so that's really interesting to me. Tell me.
You know what's more interesting is that is something new to you. Like, I thought for sure this is something that you would have like delved over for decades.
Oh gosh, I'd be all over this. So I really think
it's awesome.
Fascinating.
That's cool.
So
you're too busy on the alien stuff. You got to get into the self-talk.
How do you do that?
So that was a part of the book, was to give people the tools to operationalize how to help people with their self-talk. So nobody's ever walked into office and said, "How's your self-talk doing today?"
Yeah.
That doesn't happen.
That's right. Cool.
But we should have the courage as leaders to help our people and to help ourselves. And there are a couple ways, and I'll get into that in a minute. But what we have to do, I think, is have the courage to talk about how you're feeling, how you're doing, what's your self-talk, what's the team talk? Because what all of that translates into is a team environment, a team culture, and how the team feels about itself, right? And so if I have negative self-talk as a leader, my team talk is going to be terrible because it bleeds into, you can't hide that stuff. You can't hide how you feel, how you show up, how you talk, people intuitively get how you show up every day.
So right? Can I just challenge that for a second? Sure. Again, it's new to me, so I want to really understand it because I think there's real value here.
Please.
So when I think about my own thoughts and what I'm focusing on, and yes, indeed, a lot of it is negative, but it's negative because I spend a lot of my mental capacity as a business person thinking about the problems that need to be solved. Because the ones that are already solved, I don't have to deal with that. Sure. And so I'm not thinking about that. And that's the good stuff.
Sure.
But for the things that still need to be solved, I would be focusing on that quite a bit. Why is that not good?
That's different.
Oh, that's different. Okay.
That's different. So let's talk about how we show up. I could have negative self-talk about walking in this room and being asked a bunch of questions to challenge my writing, my book, my thoughts, the thing I put out into the world. I could be scared and nervous about doing that. And I could be telling myself, I don't deserve to be here. I'm not the right person to be sitting here doing that. I'm not qualified to be talking about this. You know, I could have all kinds of negative thoughts about sitting here in this chair and putting something out into the world and having it challenged and pushed back on. But what I need to be able to do is have better conversations. I'm not going to stop those negative conversations, but I can learn to have better. If I have something called the 3C method, which is catch, confront, and change. If I learn to catch those negative thoughts earlier, and instead of spinning out about them and spending an hour worrying about sitting in this chair, and I catch that behavior and then I challenge it. Well, Rhett, I've written 3 books. I've built $200 million companies. I've done the things that say I deserve to be here. I've done the work to deserve to be in this chair. And by the grace of David, I get the chance to do that, right? But that I need to confront that narrative that I'm telling myself that I don't belong, and then I can change it. Then I can change that narrative and begin to have better conversations with myself. And that's the whole point of it is, can I have more better conversations?
And I think the analogy too is, you know, those people that play golf, I know Sean plays some golf, you know, there comes a time where you hit 2 perfect shots on a par 5 and you're right in front of the green. And a golfer, most of them will walk up to him and say, man, I hope I don't chunk this. I better not chunk this. And it's different. Like in football, if it's 4th-and-1, nobody in the huddle is saying, when you talk about these negative talk, a team talk, no one's like, hope I don't fumble it. Right. It's like a whole different mentality. And I see so many people living their lives hitting 2 perfect shots. And all that's going in their self-talk is, I hope I don't fuck up the next shot.
Right.
Instead of, I got this.
Yep.
And it's even falls over when you hit a bad shot. And there's so many stories of golfers in particular of one golfer like, oh, shit. And the other guy is, you know, I'm going to stick this on the green, and these guys we're playing against, they're not going to be able to recover. Because if you attack somebody's weakness, you'll win. But if you attack their strength when they're up, you'll break them. And there is a philosophy of that of self-talk. John,
it's about recovery too, right? How fast can you recover from those negative thoughts that are going to
right? And I use cancel clear. Cancel clear connect, which is a very similar thing with negative thought. And this book originally, right, How to Ditch Toxicity and Surround Yourself with Positive Influence, has a whole chapter about self-talk, stuff that we've talked about. John, you deal with this a lot as an Olympian as well, in the experiences you had.
Yeah, it's really fascinating. I can't wait to pick up the book. Are you familiar with Zimbardo's Time Paradox Inventory?
Yes.
ZTPI? I figured you would be. For those of you who don't know, it's 4 categories of where you spend your mental energy.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'll get it right, but past positive, good. Past negative, also important because you don't learn if you don't occasionally remember that you
swear Rory's talking stuff about. Yeah,
present hedonism and then future. And there,
what's present hedonism?
It's just being present.
Okay.
I don't know why he says hedonism. It's fine, right? But if you're all present all the time.
That's I thought it was something a little dirtier. Yeah, that's all right.
You know what the surprise is? Roy actually knew what that was.
Yeah, right. Why does that surprise you, Sean?
He's been to sandals. Or what's the,
So how do you strike
one
a balance?
Or two,
right. How do you strike a balance in the book between, you know, there is important to have some negative self-talk because otherwise you don't learn. You know, a lot of leaders are spending way too much time in future orientation. They're not even sure. Do you cover much of that in the book? I'm just curious.
Absolutely, and it is healthy. It is healthy. Some of the things are there to protect you. I mean, your inner voice, your self-talk, is there to protect you.
Right.
It's all from when we lived in caves, and if you didn't have the hair on the back of your neck stand up, you know, if there was a saber-toothed tiger out outside that was going to do you harm. I mean, that's where all that, I mean, we haven't evolved much in the brain since then. Right. So we do talk about fear is healthy. But too much is also can hold you back from accomplishing anything that you want to accomplish. So I do think this was really focused on having better conversations. We already have enough fear. Like we already live in that space a lot, but can we move more, those conversations, can we move them, to the action and living in a more positive way.
And that's one of the dangers of social silos and the doom scrolling that goes on is they're reinforcing just because of what you're paying attention to negative self-talk. Mm-hmm. And so it makes a lot of money for the platforms to do so as well. Dr. Sean Dill.
Yeah. My question read is just simply why, but I'll expand on it for you. Like, why would we say such negative things to ourselves when we really wouldn't tolerate the same self-talk from other people? I would move away from somebody that was constantly telling me that I didn't belong, I suck, I can't do this. How can we tolerate this within ourselves?
I try not to. I love more people. That's one of the reasons we wrote the book, is we want this to be a part of the conversation about self-development, personal development, and team development. Business development, I think we tolerate it because we all live with trauma. We all live with things that we failed at, and those things take hold in our brains. And why? I don't know. And maybe that's the way we're wired. I wish I could answer that from a medical or a brain science, but we do, and it does get in our way.
How much of it is other people? Because I hear a lot of people that struggle with this, but then they say, like, well, my spouse is always telling me that, or my mother and my father always told me that, my siblings always told me that I was never going to be enough. Is that true, that it was like their influences bled into us?
Sure. I mean, I had a first grade teacher that said, because I didn't pay attention, I had the worst case of ADD in the world. She thought I was just a bad student, that I was just disruptive. I was bored. But she said, oh, you're never going to amount to anything. Do I hear that voice? Do I hear Mrs. Bryant come up every once in a while? Yeah, I do.
Shout out Mrs. Bryant. You were wrong.
F you, Mrs. Bryant. Here on Office Hours.
She was sweet. I love Mrs. Bryant.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk and a lot of meaning to that talk. And it's so amazing how everyone has a different experience or perception of it in varying degrees as we all are experiencing life in the same sort of stage of our lives. And it's fascinating to me, too. And I delve deep into the head of mental side of how it also impacts materialization, monetization, manifestation of how we talk. And so many times you can have a power of success, not just for you as an individual, but as you call them teams, I call it collective consciousness. And it's amazing how we can elevate others by elevating ourselves, especially with our self-talk. Head of Mentals, a must read if you desire to be where you want to be, or even better. It takes great speakers, authors, coaches, and friends like Rhett Power to help you pick up a copy of Head of Mentals, available everywhere. Rhett, thanks for joining us in person on Office Hours.
Thank you.
This is David Meltzer. It's been a friendly episode of Office Hours.